Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hej och välkomna till Travel News podcast. Idag så sitter jag i SAS-huset och jag ska intervjua en kille som heter Glenn och han är elflygsansvarig på Airbus. So I will now switch into English. Hello and welcome to the podcast.
Hello.
You are a CEO at Airbus. No, not CEO, he's shaking his head now. Who are you and what do you do?
So I'm responsible for all of the electrification research that we do at Airbus, whether we're talking about drones, so very small vehicles, up to passenger carrying urban air mobility vehicles, so air taxis, or commercial aircraft.
And I believe you have some kind of education. How did you become this?
So my education is in aeronautical engineering.
And how long have you been doing this?
I've been in Airbus since 2000 and I've been working on some flagship projects like the A380 or the A350 being one of the most recent ones. And then a few years ago, I started working in the development of electric aircraft.
And how far have you come?
So already in 2015, we flew the EFAN across the English Channel. So this is a fully electric, zero emissions aircraft that we flew already in the summer of 2015.
And how many people were on board?
On that aircraft, it's a one passenger aircraft. But since then, we have gained confidence and we've started developing other demonstrators. So Vahana is one that we flew in January 2018 for the first time. It's flown more than 80 flights since then. We flew in May this year the first flight of another demonstrator called City Airbus, and this one is a four-seater vertical takeoff and landing aircraft. It's more than 2 tons, so starts to be very serious vehicles. Again, fully electric, battery-powered aircraft. And as well as those projects, we've launched a demonstrator called EFAN X. EFAN X is a 2 megawatt demonstrator. So it's a very high power level. It's the sort of power level we need to achieve to start making regional aircraft flights possible. And it's due to fly in 2021.
What's your biggest learnings from this 80 test flights that you have done? What have you learned?
So what we've seen is a huge opportunity. First of all, we see really the potential that electric and hybrid electric aviation can be applied to different vehicle types, whether we talk about the small aircraft or the big ones. Our ambition is to make a 100-seat passenger carrying aircraft possible in the 2030s timeframe. And we see that that's really possible based on our experience so far. At the same time, there are challenges. There are the energy storage is going.
Is that the battery?
Yeah, so it can be. We have 3 main technologies that we look at when we talk about energy storage. Battery technology is one of them. Fuel cell is another. And supercapacitors is another that is also interesting in combination.
Battery, I understand. But the other two, so please explain what it is.
So a fuel cell uses hydrogen and essentially converts hydrogen into electricity. That electricity is then used to power an electric motor.
So which of these 3 techniques do you think will be the leading one from your stand today?
So we're not betting on one specific technology today. We're investing in all of the energy storage technologies because we believe that we're at the beginning of this journey, and seeing what's happening in the automotive industry, in the energy supply industry, consumer electronics industry, there's huge investment going into these technologies at the moment. And as a result, they're going to evolve over the next few years. And we already see the performance improving significantly over the last few years. The investment is increasing over time, so we expect to see further improvement in the coming years.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I understand that 1 liter of fuel, it's 1 kilo, that needs 20 kilos of battery. Have I understood it correctly? Or
It's approximately that order of magnitude. At the same time, a few years before, it was 40 times difference. Now it's about 20 times difference. And with the continued investment in energy storage technologies, that's going to get lower and lower as a ratio. And already today, with the sort of power levels we're talking about, energy density we're talking about, you can see from the demonstrators we've already flown that it's possible for us to fly fully electrically. Now, for the future, what we are going to be deciding is what level of hybridization do we implement in a 100-seat plus aircraft. Can we achieve fully electric through the different energy storage devices I mentioned, or do we need to hybridize?
How far do you think it's possible with this 100-seat plane that you're developing with SAS, I think, as we're sitting in their house? How far will it go?
So we're really looking with SAS at what is the infrastructure needed for hybrid or electric aircraft at an airport. What could be the operational opportunities or challenges associated with a hybrid electric aircraft? For example, if we have a fully electric aircraft, we could imagine that perhaps it doesn't have the same range as a traditionally kerosene-powered traditional kerosene-powered aircraft. So that means that an airline would have a mix of long-range products and shorter-range products, but the shorter-range products could be fully zero emissions. So those kind of studies on how that changes their fleet management, how it changes their network routing, they're the kinds of things that we're trying to understand, as well as the infrastructure with SAS, so that we can take an airline's perspective and inject that into future demonstrators and even the future real commercialized product.
Do you think the planes will lift vertical up and then go away, or so the needs of big airports will be smaller?
Definitely that's possible for the smaller vehicles. It's not likely to be the solution for the very large 100-seat aircraft.
It's too heavy, or
Just simply because of the power requirement at takeoff would be extremely high, and even with the kerosene powered aircraft, which has a very high energy density, that's a significant challenge, never mind for electric energy storage devices.
Do you think there will be different airports, or everything will be at the big airports still, so the smaller airports, do they have a future in your vision?
Smaller airports, for sure, could be revolutionized by electric aviation. It's probably not the specific market of Airbus, but we could see, for example, 19-seat, 20-seat aircraft, zero emissions, which are quiet, and therefore an enabling a new ecosystem to emerge around smaller regional airports. It could be a time saving for passengers, for example, to use these smaller airports rather than maybe going further in order to get to a larger hub.
When I saw you showed a picture before, it was like something lifting, and you said going out to the airport with this more like a drone. When I hear about this, all these drones, I think it will be chaos up in the air. Am I wrong, or do you understand my scariness?
We have very serious and secure air traffic management system for aircraft, and it will be the same sort of high security, high safety air traffic management system that would be required for these urban air mobility vehicles or air taxis. So there would be no compromise on safety when we think about how these vehicles are going to operate.
But I think there will be a lot of amateurs and, you know, people, perhaps not Airbus, but there's so many. I think there are 200 or 400 small companies trying to build this taxi planes. What do you think about that?
There's a very mature regulatory framework in Europe, which allows us all to certify correctly products to very high standards. Those regulatory frameworks apply to Airbus, but apply to anybody else who is interested in developing aircraft. I believe that if those processes remain in place and everything looks like it will, there will be no compromise on safety.
Do you think that an electric plane will be able to go long haul?
I think hybrid electric has the potential for long haul applications, but the percentage of hybridization will probably be quite low. So you could imagine maybe a battery providing 10% of the total power on board. And then for the shorter missions, maybe 50, 90, even 100%. So it will likely have less hybridization for the long-range missions. Long-range missions also are one of the reasons why we need to continue pushing biofuels and synthetic fuels, because this is a very low emission solutions for those kind of missions, the long-range missions.
What is a synthetic fuel? I don't understand it.
Synthetic fuel, so one of the synthetic fuel types, as an example, is when you take hydrogen and carbon and you put them together through a process, allowing you to create a hydrocarbon. So, and the carbon can come from, for example, direct air capture. So it means you can suck the carbon directly out of the ambient air, capture it, and then mix it with hydrogen to create a hydrocarbon. It's a synthetic, man-made, zero emissions fuel.
And you think this will be bigger than bio-jet fuel?
I think it's potentially more scalable than biofuel. So biofuel has obviously a limitation in terms of the amount of land that's available to produce bio ingredients. With synthetic fuel, you have less of that issue, and as a result, it's potentially more scalable.
Okay, you're making a Formula One competition with electric airplanes. Why?
We believe that we need to encourage an ecosystem to develop electric motors, power electronics, energy storage solutions. And there is no better way than encouraging to encourage the ecosystem than by creating a competition. You then push for very high performance components in such a race. And you have also a number of actors being involved, which means you get really diversity of ideas in how to solve some of the challenges associated with electric propulsion in aircraft.
So when will this competition start? When can I see it?
So the race is planned for 2020. We already announced at the Paris Air Show a couple of weeks ago that we now have four teams already signed up as interested to race, and we're expecting a few more. The race will be a race between eight teams, all flying, all at the same time around a course, and we think that it will really allow us to develop new technologies for eventually application to commercial aviation.
Okay, a change question again. I live very close to an airport, and I hear every morning at 7 when Bromma opens, I hear when the planes come, and they stop at 9 p.m. How much sound will this electric planes make? Will I hear them?
So a fully electric aircraft would eliminate the noise from a gas turbine. So you would no longer have this engine noise. And that's obviously something which we see as an opportunity when we think about electrification as applied to aircraft. We can also do clever things with the propeller speeds on electric aircraft. For example, on Vahana, our vertical takeoff and landing demonstrator, we can change the speed of the rotors, and it's the speed of the rotors which change the frequency but also the absolute noise of the rotors. So there is more flexibility with electric propulsion to change the noise level but also change the type of noise. And sometimes it can be the type of noise which is really annoying rather than the absolute decibels of the noise. So there are clearly opportunities there.
You were asked during the session here about nuclear power. Is it possible to put nuclear power in an airplane?
It's possible to put any kind of power, electrical power, into the batteries of an aircraft, for example. Our priority, based on the growth forecasts, is to work with the renewable energy sector, because we see huge growth there and we see huge potential for that kind of energy to be powering our aircraft of the future.
So what will happen? No nuclear, or?
It will depend on the future energy mix in different regions. For the moment, the renewable energy, so energy coming from solar and from wind, they are the biggest growth areas across all of the energy production ecosystem.
Yes, what's in the batteries? Will that sort of be bad for the environment?
The battery technology is evolving at an extremely fast pace, and there is a lot of research going into using different compounds, which in some cases, some of the compounds which are being looked at are kitchen type compounds. So you could almost eat them. They wouldn't taste very nice, but you could almost eat the battery cells because of where the source of the chemistry, let's say, comes from. I think our industry, but also the automotive and other industries, recognize that we need to go towards more sustainable ingredients for the batteries. And that's something which is achieving huge amounts of research and will continue to do so as these technologies become much more ubiquitous in our daily lives.
Okay, is there something that all the other smart journalists have asked you that I forgot to ask you?
No, I think the questions you've asked are really good. Maybe I'd like to just highlight again how privileged we feel we are in working with SAS Scandinavian Airlines to develop further our thinking about hybrid electric aircraft, and how it gives us an opportunity to inject airline constraints and airline ideas into what the next generation of hybrid electric aircraft will look like.
How many planes are you intending to sell in 2030?
I'm not currently looking at that. My main focus is on the technology that we need to make it happen.
Okay, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, it's been a real pleasure.
Tack så mycket. Hej då!
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.